This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
All right. We've just added the guest. Thank you to Oseg. We're going to have Bob Dice on the show just at the very end, ahead of we break away a bit early before 2 o'clock for a brief pregame show and then some World Cup soccer. So the newser is coming up at 2. Because of our network commitments, we're going to be able to get Bob Dice on to join us for just a few minutes ahead of that and talk to the third full-time head coach in Red Blacks history, the official hiring, the news coming down late this morning. And GM Sean Burke is going to join Lee and Maddie on the drive this afternoon as well for the one-hour edition. And then I'll be back for a pregame show at 5. Drop of the puck at 7. Sens at New York to take on the Rangers tonight on TSN 1200. Get a few more of your text messages pouring in here. Oh, by the way, Brent, if you're still listening, update, I've had 2 clementines since the show started. Might have to go back and get another crate. Oh, so good, Kenny. So good.
So what I recommend to you, Lloydie, to solve both our problems, is what you need to do is go to the store, Loblaws Independent, pick up 2 crates, come down to the arena at TD Place, do the Sens pregame show from the arena with the background noise of the rink there.
Oh, okay.
Bring the clementines for the media row, do the pregame show, then I call the Ottawa 67s game and have it buy a crate there, and you go back home.
Okay.
Solves all the problems.
Okay, I need you to do some kid shuttling for me between 2 and 4.
Yeah, bring them along. It'll be fine.
Okay, we can get to that. I got a few other silly ones coming in here. Oh, Brent sent this one in. Because I asked you to play some David Wilcox, and I couldn't remember who hates what at this station, right? There's a lot of that.
The Drive hates everything.
I wasn't going to name a show specifically, but there you go. Hey, lads. On the Drive, Lee hates David Wilcox. AJ hates the Chili Peppers. Maddie hates Kim Mitchell. Man, I listen to TSN 1200 way too much. I may have a problem. Just kidding. Helps me get through the workday. Hate when people book meetings with me between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays. Comes from Brent. Thank you, Brent. We appreciate you listening. To have that kind of detail, we know you're not faking it. There are certain stats you can throw out. It's like, yeah, that fan's legit. Brent's a made guy. With that kind of detail, he knows who hates what musically on the Drive off the top of his head. I don't know if that's good or bad, Brent.
It's something.
It is something. It is. Josh, good to hear from Josh as well. Oh, my goodness, it just hit me. Gord should coach the team. Josh is calling for Gord Wilson.
Great conversation with Drake Batherson he had. Just wanted to be upfront and honest as a color commentator. Yeah, you want to be able to have that relationship with the players where they're not going to hear it from a third party that you were critical of them. It's best to be upfront and say, and oftentimes I've had players come up to me and ask, how do you think I played? And I give an honest assessment of how I thought they played as best as I can and from my vantage point. And either they agree or disagree, but it's part of the relationship that you build with those players. And I think it's a healthy one to have instead of having the behind-the-back conversations where the player hears it from somebody else that you were critical and maybe they disagree. You can actually have that conversation in person.
Now that was a nice little thread that Gord gave us here, and that's part of the gig, because players hear everything. They've got friends and family that pay attention to what's said, you know, about their guy. So Gord was very critical of Drake Batherson on the broadcast the other night, and so he knew he took it upon himself. I got to go talk to this guy. Because if you're going to be offering that kind of criticism, and especially when you're as close to it as Gord, you're traveling with the team, you're calling all the games, and it sounds like it was a productive conversation. You know, sometimes players won't take it very well, Kenny. You never know how that's going to go. But it sounds like Drake Batherson was like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so long as you're fair.
I haven't been good enough.
No, you can be critical, but fair.
Yeah,
You're not attacking the person. You're not attacking what they are. You're attacking how they're playing at that moment in time. And I think that's a very distinct way of going about it. So if you can phrase it and put it in those terms, you can still build and have those relationships with players where it's professional and you can still maintain that respect factor both ways.
All right. I want to get into – I'm going to get more into this on the pregame show a little bit later as well, but I mentioned it very briefly off the top, and it starts with Jason Robertson. So the Dallas Stars beat Anaheim. That's not notable, but they beat Anaheim 4-0 last night. Jason Robertson, who was just one of the stars of the month for November, has a hat trick on December 1st in that win. Point streak is now at 17 games. He's got 22 goals this season to lead the NHL. His 39 points, second only to McDavid's 43. And Jason Robertson, we talked about him earlier this week, missed all of training camp before he signed his contract. Remember, I was gushing about Robertson a few days ago, and then he goes out and he does this as well. And I was just thinking about the Dallas Stars, about how, you know, the future of the Stars. I mean, I went back and I looked at that draft. Kenny, I don't think it's hyperbole to say that is one of the best 1, 2, 3 picks in modern NHL history in one draft in 2017. This is Dallas's 2017 draft, their first three picks that they had. Third overall, Miro Heiskanen. 3 assists last night in that win. Jake Oettinger, 26 overall. Shutout last night, 31 saves. Coming up party in the playoffs last year. 39th overall, Jason Robertson. And look at the player he's already become and what he's still becoming. You want to talk about setting yourself up as you're retooling and rebuilding and turning things over from Sagan and Ben and that era, right? In one draft, you got a number one defenseman, you got a number one goaltender, and you got a number one forward. Like winger, center, whatever. You've got a dynamic, goal-scoring, point-producing forward. Same draft, first three picks. Joe McDonald is his name. Joe is now in his 10th year as the director of amateur scouting with the Dallas Stars, Kenny. He'll hang his hat on that draft forever. You get Heiskanen, Oettinger, and Robertson with your first three picks.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
It's absolutely incredible to go through. And the Robertson, the way that he's playing, I don't ever want to hear another excuse for anybody that misses camp. You don't need it. Go out there, skate with your brother for a little bit leading up to camp, and then everybody else goes away, parts, and then you just continue to skate. And I think he went down to the U.S. National Development Team and skated with them for a little bit and did some other things. Yeah, you don't need training camp at the NHL level. Just go out there and not be on pace for 75 goals over the course of the season after 24 games. It's incredible to see what he's doing. And that draft, you're right, it sets up a franchise. And if you're the head scout, you're in charge of the draft, and you have a draft like this, yeah. This is one that when you are retired or near the end, you will always be looking back on that one and saying, I absolutely nailed it.
Like I went back a number of years, and you can cherry pick some old drafts where my criteria, to be fair, I went back and I look, it's got to be the first three picks of said draft that a team had, right? Because you're going to get lucky later in rounds. And like back in the day, the Red Wings, they ended up getting Fedorov, Lidstrom, and Konstantinov in the 89 draft. All depth picks at that point. So it's got to be bang, bang, bang. Now, if you're a Sens fan, you're certainly hoping, could Stützle, Sanderson, and Greg in a few years from now, could we be looking at that if Greg really comes on? It's like, that could be a heck of a 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Looking at Detroit's 2021, I don't know about their third pick here, Shai Buium. I don't know American. I don't know who that is. But Simon Edvinson and Sebastian Kosa, those could be cornerstones of their team moving
forward. There's a lot of teams with two, but three studs. Like Dallas, man. That's a number one D, a number one goalie, and a top line forward. Like, that's top of the food chain at every important position from one draft. You're set. Those are cornerstones at each on your D, in goal, and up front. It's incredible.
It really is. It's very difficult to do. You look at teams with three picks in the first round. The Sens have had it. Boston had it where they had, three picks in a row, and they did
don't
not
Don't remind
do
the Bruins.
That. No, but the Sens had three picks and didn't hit on all of them. It's very difficult to do, to find not only good NHL players at that level with your first three picks, to find studs is unheard of. It's great. It really is nice to see a team hit it out of the park like that, and deserve a pat on the back and a lifetime paycheck, basically, as long as they're all in the league.
All right, we got to take another break here, Kenny, because we could see it. We're up against it. We're timing this out to speak to Bob Dice in our last segment before we break away for a brief pregame show, and then more World Cup soccer, and the drive comes your way at 4:20. Red Blacks GM Sean Burke will join Lee and Maddie. And Josh, I'm sorry, you're right. How dare you say hyperbole and not hyperbole? Yes, on this show, it's always hyperbole. That's my bad. Sorry, Josh. Sorry to the listeners, the hardcores that know how you have to say it on In the Box. Back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200. All right, 1:26. We'll take you till 2. World Cup action coming your way at 2. Drive at 4, including an interview with Red Blacks general manager Sean Burke at 4:20 with Lee and Maddie. I'll be back for a pregame show at 5. Sens and Rangers at 7. Kenny, 67's call tonight. We'll be at TSN1200.ca for the first hour. And then at 8 o'clock, you can find the rest of the game on Brother Station 580 CFRA as well. We're busy. We're always busy. All kinds of sports live coverage here on TSN 1200. We'll get to a few more of your texts as we're quickly running out of show. But maybe just to kind of double back on a few different things. Yes, Bob Dice is going to join us coming up at around 1:45 or so, so just under 20 minutes from now. The head coach of the Ottawa Red Blacks, after going through the process and interviewing some outside candidates, Sean Burke arrived on the guy that was already here that the players respect tremendously. I think that's clear. And Bob Dice is the new full-time head coach of the Ottawa Red Blacks. And Bob's going to join us at around 1:45. I saw one text came in from a former season ticket holder that doesn't like it just because it is an internal hire and thinks that should have went outside the organization. Sean Burke is from outside the organization, when you think about it, right? Still relatively new to the gig, coming off his first year. I think this is still a fresh set of eyes on things. And came in here, observed, let Paul Lapolis go during the season. Bob Dice has been here for quite some time. I don't think that this is just the path of least resistance hire. I don't feel that at all. He went through his due diligence for a reason and arrived at the guy that he felt was the best candidate, because ultimately it's going to be Sean Burke's tail on the line.
Yeah.
The buck stops with him. You're going to hire the best guy you think you can get, and that's Bob Dice.
Why, as a first-time general manager, would you hire somebody you didn't fully believe in? He's taking the best possible candidate, and that's why he went outside the organization, looked at different candidates, continued to keep Bob Dice in mind, and I like I said before, I really like the fact that they did that. They extended the process and looked out to find out, I think, to gather more information about themselves as well and what the outside view is. And just the more knowledge you have, I think, is always a good thing. And then to circle back to Bob Dice, who I think is a great leader of people, from everything that I've heard, anybody who has ever met him, and I've had a brief conversation with him, you want to run through the wall for the guy. You want to compete for him because he's willing to compete for you, and he's demanding in what he expects of you, and I think that brings the level of everybody else up. And the enthusiasm around that team at the end of the season for a team that was long out of it was excellent, and that's difficult to do. I really like the hiring of Bob Dice.
All right, so Bob's going to join us here just not too long from now here on the show. We'll get a chance to pick his brain about the process and congratulate him on being the full-time head coach of the Ottawa Red Blacks here. Another story developing today as well. Hockey Canada put out an extensive release about some data that they have gathered over the last little while here. It details discrimination penalties across the country. Hockey Canada officials called 512 penalties during the 2021-22 season for discrimination-related offenses. This is straight from Rick Westhead's report at TSN.ca, which the organization said in a report released included insults related to race, religion, sexual orientation, or gender identity, disabilities, and marital or family status. 16-page report, and you can find the full report embedded in Rick Westhead's story at TSN.ca. There's another 415 complaints were made during the season about alleged discrimination that a referee or other on-ice officials did not hear. Of those, 75 resulted in suspensions. So won't go through all of the details here, but what this is about, this speaks to Hockey Canada. I think Kenny finally kind of heard throughout this process that the body that is Hockey Canada has to be far more transparent than it's been. In many areas, including this. Like, here it is. These are all the complaints that we got. These are the penalties that were handed out. Now we'll see what the whole investigation, which is, you know, somewhat unrelated to this, about what happened in 2018 and go back to even Halifax as well. But this, when I saw this story come out today in this report, I'm like, this is Hockey Canada recognizing transparency is the way to go on everything. So here it is.
Yeah. And now we can take a look at it, and the first numbers that have been made public about the amount of complaints that they have and a breakdown of it. And now we look ahead. And if you want to start to view how hockey culture is changing and how culture in sports is changing, because I think we're seeing that it's much wider than just hockey and the complaints that are coming in around various bodies around Canada, around the world, that it goes beyond hockey. But hockey culture specifically here, now we can see how those complaints, provided they continue to be transparent and put out the amount of complaints that have come in, how that culture is changing on the ice and the amount of complaints, the amount of the way that it's been handled, I think, is proper. Now we can see if it's actually improving over time. And this is the starting point of that. I'm happy to see that the transparency and Hockey Canada and hockey in general is starting to understand that you need to be transparent with the way that you deal with the public at this point in time and put everything out there, because eventually it's going to get out there or you're going to get buried for it.
All right, we're at the part of the show where there's things I want to get to and I just don't have any time. So you ready for a little scattergun stuff here?
I'm ready.
Sure, you're always ready.
Yeah.
Always ready for some scattergun stuff. Did you see the report on insider trading last night? That Sean Monahan, maybe it's getting to the point where the Montreal Canadiens give him a contract extension, and keep him around, as he was moved for cap reasons, as you know, Calgary did the huge trade with Tkachuk and they signed Kadri, and then the injury situation with Monahan and his diminished play because of the surgeries, but it's still it's not like he's an old hockey player.
Yeah, his hips are old though, 3 hip surgeries.
Yeah, but he's come in and he's been all right. With Montreal. He can play still.
He can
play. So if it's an extension, it's not going to be for near the money he's making now on his current contract. But if that's the case, if they feel good enough that we think that you can be a part of our retool rebuild here, if you want to be in on this, it won't be for the money you're making now, because obviously they like his character. You wouldn't even think about that if you're Montreal with what you're building towards and building right now. And if you're able to do that, this could turn out to be the best example, the best win for taking on a bad contract and getting a sweetener. And it turns out, you know, the bad contract you took on is somebody that can actually help you as well. This could be a massive win for Montreal if this is the way they feel and they keep him around and he can contribute.
Yeah, I didn't like the trade from the Flames perspective at the time. I understood it, and I based my decision and the way that I felt, because I have a relationship with Sean Monahan. I know him and covered him, and I'm fond of him. I think he's a great player, and when he was young, 20, 21 years old, I thought he was going to be the next captain of the Calgary Flames. That's how highly I thought of his character. Unfortunately, the drop-off in play and everything else led to it going the other way and being moved along with the draft pick to Montreal, who made a great deal. And Sean Monahan has surprised even me about the way that he's played this season, and he's been able to bounce back. I thought he would have a bit of a bounce back, but not to this extent, and not discussing contract extension. Everybody was the best case scenario for the Montreal Canadiens, from what I saw online from Montreal Canadiens fans, was that Sean Monahan would play okay and they could move him along for another asset. That was the high point of that trade, and that was going to be the peak of the trade. If they can get him signed and get more productive years out of Sean Monahan, that's a win, because the character is off the charts, and that's a guy that you can help mold some of the younger guys and do things right. He's been through some tough situations, some good teams, some bad teams in Calgary, and now he can help out this young Montreal Canadiens team on the rebuild. I think it would be a great decision, provided the number's right for the Canadiens. If it's too high, then no. But if they can get it at the right number, then yeah, I think that would be a great idea.
Speaking of Calgary, Brad Treliving got all kinds of accolades in the offseason for how he navigated an awful situation and was able to make a really good trade, one that he had to make to bring in two excellent players for Matthew Tkachuk in Mackenzie Weegar and Jonathan Huberdeau. Then you go out and you sign Nazem Kadri. How concerned, though, should Flames fans be right now? They lost for the fourth time in five games, and it's just been a rocky season in general. They outshoot the Habs 46-19, and Monahan got a nice standing ovation last night in his return to Calgary. Jacob Markstrom, quote, "I suck at hockey right now," post-game. He had an awful gaffe very early in the game, and he just has not played very well. And like, we obviously talk about the troubles of the Senators, like what's wrong. You know, they're in a lot of games. They shoot themselves in the foot. But, you know, Calgary, their expectations are even higher. And something's wrong. Something's wrong there. Like, the mix changed, obviously. Johnny Hockey's gone. Matt Tkachuk's gone. That's huge, right? I don't care who you bring in. And they brought in some quality people and quality players to mix it in there, Kenny. But they haven't really found their groove in Calgary. And there is a bit of concern in Alberta, I think, right now.
Yeah, goals against average of nearly 3 and a save percentage just shy of .890 for their star goaltender isn't going to get things done. But you're right, it goes beyond that. Even if the save percentage is up around league average or at .915 or so, you're going to win a few more games. But Elias Lindholm sitting at 7 goals, I don't think that would be where you would project it, because as they had 3 40-goal guys on the same line, yes, 2 of them left, but I thought that the replacement with Huberto was going to help Lindholm again reach his max potential, and clearly that hasn't been happening as of yet. The offense just isn't there at this point in time for the Flames. They haven't found that chemistry. It is concerning. I don't think it should be concerning over the course of the year. I'd still give them an opportunity to get out of this, and it's more than a one-year build, and we've seen the Flames be able to bounce back with basically the same group from 2 years ago to last year. Is a massive overhaul, a massive difference without changing up the structure of the team. I'd be concerned, but I wouldn't be hitting any panic buttons as of yet.
All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we should be speaking with Red Blacks head coach Bob Dice in our final segment of the show, just ahead of some World Cup action. Bob Dice, interim tag is gone. He is the new full-time head coach of the Red Blacks, and that's next on In the Box on TSN 1200. All right, back at it on a very busy, busy day. We got some World Cup soccer coming up shortly. We've got a Sens game tonight. We've got a 67s game on Brother Station 580 CFRA. And we've got huge news from the Ottawa Red Blacks. And very pleased, just for a few minutes ahead of his main news conference at 2. So thank you very much on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline to the new full-time head coach of the Ottawa Red Blacks, Bob Dice. Bob, congratulations. Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, first off, thank you very much. Excited and ecstatic.
Well, take us through this process. As Sean Burke said, that of course you're a candidate at the end of the season, but they were going to go through their process as an organization. What was that process like for you after the season? Then you get to this point, and you're the guy.
Oh, well, you know, Sean and his team were extremely thorough. You know, and I look at the list of candidates that they had, and they, them doing their due diligence across the board, and a very detailed process that you know, was challenging, and you know, obviously now through the end, it's come and work out in my favor. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to putting a product on the field that working with Sean and putting a product on the field here that the people of Ottawa can be proud of.
The fact that the organization went through the entire process and still arrived at you, does that make you feel even better that, you know, they truly feel that you are the best person for this job?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. You know, I've spent a lot of time here working with different people and different levels in this organization. And, you know, Sean and I in the last year, and then near the end, obviously very closely. And the fact that, they went through and did their due diligence, yeah, certainly you take pride in that. And, you take pride in that. And like I said, I'm just excited and looking forward to getting to work.
You had some head coaching experience in a similar situation years ago in Saskatchewan coming in mid-season. Same deal this year. This past season, how much did the games that you had a chance to settle in as a head coach, you know, help you, you know, wrap your head around it, get ready for the start of next season? And really, that was kind of the start of your interview process taking over midway through this past season.
Well, yeah, I think if anything, it did lay a little bit of the foundation of where we want to go and who we want to be in the future. It being the second time around in that role, obviously even more comfortable than I was the first time. You know, again, a good support with good people around here made it easier than it could have been in other situations. And so it was a good part of the process as well.
Was there one thing that you think you accomplished late in the year? Because a change is made for a reason, trying to breathe a little new energy into the group here. Is there something that you felt you really needed to do and what you did do, maybe from a culture standpoint or whatever?
Yeah, I think if there's one thing, I think there is more than one thing, but that's one thing that I'll say is I think is kind of setting standards of what's acceptable and what's not. I really believe that you got to compete at all times in everything that you're doing if you want to achieve your finest goal. And I think the competitive level was raised throughout that 5 to 6 weeks. And I think the guys responded to that.
And just a couple of more here. How many chats have you had with your players postseason? Because, Bob, I certainly got the impression the players really wanted you to be the head coach here. So how many positive conversations have you had with your players and maybe some congratulatory calls and texts already today?
Oh, I don't know that I could put a number. If you add between texts and messages and social media, well in the hundreds. Richie was actually the first person, and Richie FaceTimed me as soon as the release came out. Nigel Romick's been in my office. LP Barrasso's been in my office. And like I said, numerous messages from players present and past.
All right, a last one for you, a bit of a fun one. We got a big listener and a big Red Blacks fan, Big Rick, and he's just I'll kind of summarize it. He loves the fact that you're the head coach, and now he just wants you to, you know, get Sean Burks here, get Lorenzo Maldon signed, okay? Can you make that happen for Big Rick?
I'm certainly going to do my best.
All right. Well, congratulations once again, and awesome that you were able to hop on with us for a few minutes just ahead of the main news conference and many chats down the road. Congrats.
Thank you very much.
There's Bob Dice, the head coach of the Ottawa Red Blacks. More on this with the general manager, Sean Burke, after soccer. Coming up next, as the drive will be back at 4 o'clock. Lee and Maddie, Sean Burke's around 4:20. I'll be back at 5 with a pregame show. Drop of the puck from Madison Square Garden with Dean and Gord at 7. Sens and Rangers. Kenny has got the call with Flint and the 67s down at the arena at TD Place. First hour of that will be online at tsn1200.ca. And then at 8 o'clock, after Santa Talk, Kenny, you'll be on the rest of the way on our brother station, 580 CFRA. And if you're going to the game, say hi to Kenny. He might have some clementines for you
and
in his nice suit.
I won't, but you know what the arena TD Place does have for you? $2.50 beers up until the end of the first period.
That's all right.
That'll do.
Maybe Bob's office is nearby. Maybe he'll slip in. That's how he'll celebrate. Hey, get the whole staff over there. All right. We're back to do it coming up again on Monday. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Enjoy the soccer, the hockey. We'll hear from Sean Burke later on today. Senators game tonight. World Cup soccer's next on TSN 1200.
I'm going to sign off here.
I want you to end it.
Wanted to let him know his fun's done.
Three words. What a team effort it was.
Sorry about that.
Thanks for having me.
What a finish.